Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I'll take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Come on, Mike.
Filling out my bracket.
Stop it.
I want to
get back in
bracket.
Here.
All right, look. I'll have to wait to poop.
I've had to wait to do a lot of things. Good God.
I'm sorry. Things happen. I mean, things come up. Things come out. Wow, that was better, though. Thank you for getting me. I would have sat there forever on the toilet.
I know you would have. That's why
did
I
you use the last of the toilet paper, by the way?
Yes, of course I did.
Why don't you ever replace it with another roll?
Does this look like my house? I'm not going to buy toilet paper for work and bring it in here. It's not my job. Don't we have people for that? I think we have people for that.
I've been meaning to tell you this.
What have you been meaning?
You've become, I think, in a very short period of time, a cantankerous, delusional ass.
How long of a time did that take me to become a whatever that was?
I would say the best part of the last couple weeks, you've just been totally somebody else. You're calloused. And okay. I'm leaving. I'm leaving the show.
Not before I'm leaving.
You can't leave before me. I mean, you can. Did you fill out your brackets?
Yes. How many brackets do you need to fill out?
I think I'm just in a bad mood because I'm not sure about my brackets.
I'm not either. I went in and last night as I was laying my CP head down to go nunnights, I had ESPN in the background, and Jay Billis is going through picking out things, and I'm like, God, I got to remember that tomorrow when I fill out my bracket. I got to remember that.
Me too.
But we'll
try.
We'll have Amelia Reno on, our official NCAA brilliance of a person. She talks about...
She knows what she's doing.
Minnesota Golden Gophers, and she does this for a job, so I'm hoping she'll give us some money. But go to 105theticket.com. Get your picks into the $1 million bracket challenge. Don't miss your chance for $1 million or a $10,000 prize. You'll also see how you match up with your favorite ticket personalities. God knows that I'm going to crush Bob Sansevier. Everything that we bet on, every game we pick on, I just absolutely just crush him like I'm rolling over him like a bulldozer. Join in on the fun of beating Bob. Deadline's 11 a.m. on Thursday. Head now 105theticket.com. I filled mine out already. I've got Kentucky beating Virginia. Virginia's for lovers. I have Kentucky beating Virginia in the national championship game on April 6th.
Ooh. Why Virginia?
Virginia.
Why?
They're
why?
Because they're good.
Well, our guys are going to take them out, you know.
What guys?
Tyus Jones and that one guy that we want.
No, I have Virginia beating Duke.
I don't know how you see that. I really don't know where you're coming from.
Have you seen Duke play?
Of course. Yeah, oh yeah.
How Duke gets past, let's see here.
I have.
How did Duke do versus Notre Dame the other day?
Look, all kinds of questions and answers that I really don't want to, I don't care to answer right
what
now.
What do you mean you don't care to answer? We're down to the nitty gritty. We're filling out brackets. I've got not only 105theticket.com bracket, we have this bracket that we play
questions against
with Brad Johnson and former Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun, too.
And other media personalities. That'll be great. And then my favorite spot, Stouts down the street here, where I go for drinks and food, who I met the most beautiful woman yesterday, too,
what?
By the way, and talked to her, and we've been texting.
Huh?
Yes.
What's this?
So anyway, I have to fill out three different
brackets. Wait, back up. Can we talk about that a little bit?
I guess.
So you went down to that favorite place of yours, the one that you have the chicken wings at?
No. Different place.
Different place.
Yeah. Okay. This is a place that's just down the street from my house, so when I need some num-a-nums or I need to have a couple of beers, I just go down the street, Stouts. It's at the corner of Snelling and Larpenter. Right,
that's kind of cool, though. That's good.
And this woman, I'm looking outside the doors. It was beautiful yesterday. People were sitting outside the patio.
It was very nice. It was very nice. Yeah, I mean, but walking the dog, I found it very, very windy. Very breezy. Very windy.
Beggars can't be choosers, all right?
For this time of year, I'll take 67
degrees. Is what I have to deal with every single day.
Yeah.
It's 60-some degrees, beautiful, sun shining. I'm out there hitting golf balls, sweating.
Hit some golf balls.
I did a lot this weekend. Jeez. But anyway, listen, back to the story. Yeah. I'm sitting there at the bar having a beer with my brother. And outside, I kind of hit my brother in the elbow. I was like, you're going to like who's going to be walking in this door. So I can see it's all windows in the front.
I'll bet I know.
And they came walking in, and I was like, yeah, I think I might be in love.
Did you try to ask the gal. Was it the gal from Fox 9?
No.
Who does the morning?
Nope.
It wasn't her.
No.
I know you kind of thought she was fetching.
Well, she was just stunned. That Fox 9 lady was stunningly beautiful and shocked me one day because I watch Fox 9 every single morning as I'm on the stepper, following the workout plan that you've laid out for me. And all of a sudden, Kelsey Sobey, I think is the normal girl, was not there.
Okay.
And it was this brown-haired, unbelievably perfect, almost plasticky because she's so beautiful.
Yikes.
And I haven't seen her since.
Ooh. Do you notice a ring?
No, I was too far back. They always have the steppers way in the back of the workout room.
We can always ask Jim Rich. I mean, he's a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
We can ask him what's going on there. Right. I had a good weekend, though. I mean, it took it easy.
I haven't asked yet. I was still telling my story.
Oh, good.
No, just kidding.
I want to hear it.
No, I want to hear your story.
Did you have more on that one outside of the golf?
Yes, with the lady. She is so blonde that I want to have giant Nordic babies with her. Just a massive Nordic babies with big hands.
Yeah?
I think her hands are almost as big as mine is. Mine are.
Interesting. Interesting.
Just a big woman.
Really?
But not really at all. No, just... But wow.
But she walks in and your first impression was? Your brother set you up, and he said,
no, she's
coming
in.
No, I mean, he said,
no,
he told
I
you
said,
that.
Are you doing that? Listen to my story?
Yeah, no, I
said
I am.
They're coming in.
You said,
I said, look who's coming.
Oh. I could have sworn you said your brother said.
No, I hit him in the elbow and said, look who's coming in. Then everything kind of went fuzzy in slow motion. You hear the music.
Did everyone else react the same way?
No, just me. Everything kind of, it was almost like I was having a stroke.
But no one else reacted the way you did. In the bar. I mean,
I think it's meant to be.
This is exciting.
It's meant to be. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I love it that you're...
She's fantastic.
Yee.
Did a little texty text.
Oh.
I don't know where to take it from here. I've been out of the dating game for I've gone on dates since my past relationship broke up, which was in August, September.
Yeah.
And I've gone on dates and stuff, but I haven't really found someone that I'm like, yes!
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, I'm nervous.
But this one.
I'm nervous.
How about this one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, well.
Freaking out a little bit.
This is pretty good. I kind of like this. I'm going to have to ask you more about this during the...
That's all I know.
I'm going to talk all day about it, though, whether you know it or not.
Okay, that's fantastic.
That's pretty cool, though.
You're pretty cool.
What did you think of everything that's been going on in football, by the way?
But I want to ask you what happened to your weekend, because I just so rudely interrupted you.
No,
I took the dog on a walk,
and I did some just some knick-knack stuff around the house, and I didn't have any big plans, and that was a good thing. It was just an easygoing weekend. I got my daughter that lives with me, spent some time with her, the wife, and just took it easy. And it's fun not to have anything to do. Went and had a couple big breakfasts.
Not a buddy.
I love kickback weekends where you don't have anything to do. Other than I did the 4:30 right the 10:35 Now show.
It was great last
segment
night
with Jim Rich.
You had
last
a suit
night.
Coat or dress of what do you call those? A blazer?
That was just that was a sport coat
with a white undershirt on underneath.
My tank top. Yeah,
it's a tank top.
White tank top.
Was it really a tank top?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so.
It was a dress shirt. What are you talking about?
It wasn't a
collar.
Dress shirt. Did not.
It had a collar.
Did it?
It had a collar on it. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I thought maybe you just put on your blazer after working out.
Well, I wish I could work out. I can't work out right now. I'm just taking it easy. I'm just laying low.
What's the matter?
Nothing's wrong. Nothing at all. I just needed a break from the workouts, and I'll be back in about a week and a half.
What do you mean you need a break from the workouts? You're the superstar Mike Morris. You don't take breaks from workouts. You're working out while we're talking on the radio. You've always got some sort of weight, something or other, just working it.
No, that's me just trying to breathe. It would appear that I'm doing that, a workout or something like that. But I would say this. I'm going to take about a week and a half off. I'm going to make myself, overwhelmed by not working out for a little while. I do this every now and then. I just kind of clean up and let my body sort of relax, and then I go back to it hard. I hit it hard. So I'm in the middle of doing that right now.
Proud of you.
Just taking it easy. Yeah. Love it that way. I do.
Don't you feel like a slob, though?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And that's part of the getting back into it thing.
I take one day off, and I feel like I'm just a fat ass all over again.
Yes. I'm 41 years of this. You have to learn how to break it and give your body a break. You're doing good, though.
Proud of you.
You are doing good.
So many, first of all, so many compliments, which is awesome. But it's hard work.
I'll bet.
It's hard work.
You have to do the time.
The hard work is doing time.
You have to do the time before you can get those kind of, those kind of comments and compliments and noticing.
Yeah, I went to the St. Paul Saints brand new stadium, by the way, and I already want to move downtown St. Paul. It's unbelievable. CHS Field, I want to say the first game, May 21st. Got an inside, outside, upstairs, downstairs, all sorts of Heckman Aronson, who we talked to on Friday. They had their big open house this weekend. It's going to be amazing. This new St. Paul Saints Stadium, it's about 99% done, I would say. It's amazing.
No,
if
kidding.
You don't have your season tickets yet, you want to. I suggest you. It's a great. First of all, it's around the St. Paul Farmers Market area.
I know where that is.
Every other Saturday, and we'll get the dates out at some point. We're going to do 105. The Ticket will be down there before the game, and it's going to be wonderful. And so,
does it look big? I know they're a minor league team, but mm-hmm. I mean, does it look big? Yeah. This new stadium.
Yeah. I mean, all baseball fields are about the same size, give or take some feet.
Does it have like?
Nope.
Like boxes or anything like
yeah.
that? It does.
Yeah.
I figured it might.
Yeah.
They were talking about it being pretty fancy. Yeah, fancy. Had, I didn't know how big time they would go.
Along the first baseline down to right field, they have a club seat area. Like the Minnesota Twins have a club level.
Yeah.
And on the right side there, along the first base right field line, they have a club area, which is amazing, where you can get food and beers and all these things for tickets. And then along the third base line and out left field, that's where they have their box and their suites.
That's pretty cool. When you think about the old days,
it's unbelievable.
Just from last season, and that old stadium, that dilapidated stadium that they played out of, it was a dumpster. Oh, my Lord. I had to meet up with them. I talked to them down there a couple times at their offices down there. Man, that place has been around for a long time.
Their new workout room is about the size of the old Midway Stadium. Where they're going to work on, where they have their weights and whatnot.
Jeez.
Then they have like a hot tub room and this and that. And
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty ritzy down there. And instead of the train, you know, the trains would go by, they go, train. Now it's going to be plane. Because they're right by Holman Field. Yeah. Planes take off from the St. Paul Airport. Fly right over CHS Field. It's awesome. You're going to love it. I can't wait to take you to a game. Man. It's going to be fantastic. I'm beginning to know the guys down there. So I might actually be able to get you into a game. Because I know you've been 86th.
I have been, but it's probably because I dropped a TV from a helicopter at St. Paul Airport.
That's not good.
I have done that for real. We better take a little break, shouldn't we?
No, God, we still have plenty of time to talk about things, and a lot of stuff happened over the weekend. On Friday when we were on the radio, Mike Wallace all of a sudden, boom, traded from the Miami Dolphins to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and that's the question that I was asked last night. There's no real good answer for it. If you don't know, you just don't know. Why then? Did Greg Jennings get dropped?
Easy.
Is it easy? Because
it's very
why?
Easy. Money.
Money's one thing.
Can't afford both of them.
Cut Cordarrelle Patterson then.
Well, Cordarrelle Patterson's not making enough money to make a difference, though. And Cordarrelle Patterson's still a.
I think they'd still like to have.
Asset.
I think they'd still like to. I said money last night, too, but I also think that there's a part of what they already know about Cordarrelle is that he will never work out and be that deep threat.
No, he's not going to be a deep threat at all.
Because he can't figure out. The offense. So he won't be out there except for a trick play or two.
But he needs to be out there every single time.
He needs to be.
The fact that North Turner, who's this brilliant guy, doesn't figure out plays to utilize such a great athlete. He may have absolutely no brains in between his ears, but he's got athletic ability. And so get him the ball in space, whether it's, we've talked about this a billion times, whether it's a slant or a drag or a pitch or this or end around, somehow get him the ball near the line of scrimmage and let him juke and do his moves.
It's going to be tough to get him in the lineup. It's Mike Wallace now. A lot of money spent. A little bit younger guy than Greg Jennings. 28 versus 31.
But you still have Jerry Wright and Charles Johnson.
What was it, $11 million for Greg Jennings?
Yeah.
Scheduled to make.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Wallace.
He's going to make less than that because the Miami Dolphins are stuck paying his guaranteed money, which the Vikings don't have to pay. So I want to say his cap hit's going to be around $9
million. That's what I thought. So anyway, that's the deep threat. That also means that Cordarrelle can sit back and take a nice little long break and consider how he's going to return kicks again. Because Charles Johnson is going to be out there with Jarius Wright, the rest of the guys. And I don't know. And anytime you bring a guy like Cordarrelle into the game, it's telegraphing that he's going to get it's a play that he can run. So guess who's going to get the ball? It becomes too predictable. To have him out there is to say, here's one he understands. I think that truly is a giveaway.
But imagine having Adrian Peterson in the backfield, and we'll talk about what happened with Adrian Peterson or what the Arizona Cardinals have been saying over this weekend coming up here any minute now. But 651-989-9105, if you have any comments about the things that have happened over the weekend or anything we're talking about, just kind of jicky-jacking back and forth, slap-nutting each other. Seriously, Mike Wallace on the outside, along Charles Johnson, who North Turner says is the best wide receiver on the Minnesota Vikings before Mike Wallace was traded, Jarius Wright, who became a really one of the favorite targets of Ted Bridgewater down the stretch. Kyle Rudolph will be back. He should be healthy. And if you have Adrian Peterson in the backfield, my God, that's an offense that I love. Just need to fill that left guard spot, though, because there's a massive hole, and everything will become just crushing and tumbling down if we don't have a left guard.
Yeah, everything, literally. I mean, you don't have a running game. They just come running through like a sieve, and then also the pass protection. It has to be a good pass protector as well. We get that thing handled, and I think we're in pretty good shape. Defensively, I'm not too bad. I'm not too bad on that either. Middle linebacker would be nice.
Every single free agent that we've reached out to, the Minnesota Vikings have reached out to, or even, except Sean Hill, obviously, and our own free agents, but everyone we've offered a contract to or reached out to, signed somewhere else. Michael Johnson did
Michael
the same
Johnson,
thing.
Cincinnati.
Friday he was here, stayed over Saturday, ended up flying back to Cincinnati on Saturday, and then as of Sunday, boom, signs with the Cincinnati Bengals, 4 years, $24 million deal. If the Minnesota Vikings would have signed Michael Johnson, would we have seen and been talking about Greg Jennings being cut on Saturday, mm-hmm. Brian Robinson being cut on Sunday?
That's another thought. You have to think about that, or the different combinations that they could have had with Mike Johnson and Robinson. Also on the other side, you got Everson Griffin, you got Anthony Barr, a lot of different stunts and things you could work. But those kinds of athletes, that would be incredible. And maybe Crichton in there somewhere, working down low, that under three tackle. That could have been interesting.
Yeah. Crichton, though, didn't get much playing time, and neither did David Yankee. So that's why I don't want to draft another left guard, because you've already got, a second-year guy who you drafted in the fifth round last year. You have two young guys there on that left side. I'd rather have some sort of veteran. But who's left?
The Sheriff would be fun.
Who's left?
But how are we going to take him? You can't get Sheriff at 11 because you're taking Trey Waynes. So, I mean, you can still get a really good offensive lineman. Third, fourth, fifth round.
It'll be interesting because at some point we'll talk to our guy Dane Brugler, the senior draft analyst from CBS Sports. I'm sure he'll have a new mock draft out here any day now. But all the mock drafts have had the Minnesota Vikings selecting a wide receiver. Well, is that still the case now that they have Mike Wallace? They have the same amount of wide receivers.
Yeah.
Because they cut Greg Jennings.
Same number.
But
receiver for receiver.
I don't think they need to take a pick or take a wide receiver.
I don't either. I definitely don't. Come on now. We have to start thinking defensive, minded now. Thinking like Zimmer probably is right now. But middle linebacker, you want to hit a home run on that one. You have to hit a home run. Pick up the big time middle linebacker.
Who is that, though?
Yeah, your guy.
My guy. But we were talking to Dane Brugler, who said he's
like
a fourth round draft pick. He said he's worth a fourth rounder.
Anthony Barr in the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? I don't know. It depends
Anthony
on what Greenway's going to do.
Chad Greenway.
Mm-hmm. Either way, Adi Cole, I always say that, but I clearly can see that they don't like him, though. Apparently, there's something about him that no one wants him out there for that makes him expendable, and then they bring him back.
We have to take a break right now.
Let's do.
But Andy from Minnesota, wow. I mean, way to go out there on a limb and pinpoint where you're from. Saw Cinderella with his wife and kids over the weekend and just wants to see what you say about that. You, the superstar.
Sure. Sure.
So we'll talk to him next.
Cinderella? Well, I'd have to see it then, wouldn't I?
You've never seen Cinderella? Anyway.
The new one? The brand? There's a new one out.
Okay.
I mean, because my wife and daughter are going to it right now. They're sitting in the theater right now watching
it. Okay.
So it's a new one.
Well, we'll talk to Andy from Minnesota about the new movie Cinderella and what you think about it coming up next. Plus, we'll continue the weekend recap with the Minnesota Wild winning a game over the St. Louis Blues, which was awesome, but getting crushed on Friday night against Anaheim, the Timberwolves, the Gophers, NCAA March Madness, all that good stuff. Is on the way.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Come on back, Radioactive Sports.
Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I guess I'm a deep threat. For the last 2 years, I really haven't caught too many deep passes. So I feel like, I could pretty much do everything. Now, first couple years, that's what I did. Catch a lot of long touchdowns, a lot of long passes. But everybody say I was a deep threat. Last year, I had 10 touchdowns. 9 of them was in the red zone.
Is a wish your heart makes.
Well, that's a wish that came true.
Is a wish your heart makes.
I don't know why we have to listen to this crap, but
I don't either. I really don't.
Some guy named Andy. Andy, are you there? Andy from Minnesota?
This is Andy.
Hi, Andy. You want to talk about the superstar because saw Cinderella with your wife.
The only reason why I'm calling is because you guys said you guys wanted to talk about anything that happened over the weekend, and I saw Cinderella with my wife and two daughters, and I just wanted to see what Mike thought about that.
I think it's a good thing when you can share time with your wife and your daughters.
Have you seen the new Cinderella?
I have not seen it. I've seen previews and trailers from at movies that I've been to. Looked
what
like
kind
a,
of crap
like a
movies?
Combination. It looked like a combination of like four or five different fables or fairy tales or whatever the case.
Mike, would you ever be caught seeing, or I mean, just would you even go to the movie Cinderella? I mean, I know you said your wife and your daughter
are
there
right
now.
They asked me if I wanted to go after work tonight, and I said no. So they're at the movie now.
Yeah, so that's perfect, and that's probably what Andy from Minnesota should have done. Andy, why didn't you just let your wife and daughters go to the movie by themselves?
I got sucked into it. I don't wear the pants in my family. My wife tells me which ones to wear.
So is there something?
My wife tells me which ones to wear. But so, I was wondering what would it take for me to get Mike to go to Cinderella with me?
Oh, I think we could arrange something. I know
if you go to the Monticello movie theater and you get that extra large popcorn, you get free refills on the popcorn and the pop.
That'd be a lot of fun. Monticello, you say? Sounds like a great idea. Let's see, that's an hour and a half drive.
And I'm done.
I can what?
You can lick my fingers when I'm done.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is good. This is pretty good. I'd be more than glad to. I don't know. I think maybe I'll pass, but yeah. Did you like the movie that much that you'd want to go back and see it?
If I had to.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Andy, I feel bad for you, but at the same time, happy wife, happy life. I completely get wife wearing the pants in the relationship. Yeah. And sometimes I like it better like that. And so sometimes you have to suck it up and go to a Cinderella movie, but you get to spend a time with the loves of your life, the beautiful women in your life, the wife and the children.
The kids, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. I don't think your wife would want you to share time with me in any way, shape, or form.
My wife?
His wife.
Andy?
Yeah. Andy, you there?
No, Andy left.
Okay.
Andy's not feeling so well.
I think he might be very ill. Yeah. I don't know what that was, quite frankly. I don't think I've ever been asked to go see a movie with a guy. Cinderella at that.
La-di-da.
Did he really say he wanted to lick my fingers?
No, he said he was going to let you lick his fingers.
Okay.
Which is nice of him.
See, there you go.
So, just recapping sports over the weekend. Michael Johnson left. Mike Wallace traded to the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings haven't made any other moves except cutting Greg Jennings. Over the weekend, though, the Wolves ended up losing two games, got crushed on Friday and Sunday, losing yesterday to the San Antonio Spurs. They're back at it tonight, Brooklyn Nets at Target Center. Kevin Garnett should play. I've been saying that the last four games. He's supposed to play the last four games and the last second. I don't think he plays games outside of Target Center anymore.
I think you're right. And I think they want it that way, obviously, for the simple reason that they want to be able to give these younger guys and different combinations more of a chance to show themselves and what they're worth against anyone coming down the stretch.
But most
and then also
they don't want to
win games and end up, you know, shooting themselves in the foot and not getting the draft choice they want, even though it's all by luck because it's the lottery. And so what purpose is there with any of this? They could be the team that has lost the most games, which they should go by the NFL rule that if you lose the most games, you get the first pick. But that is not the case. Mm-hmm. It's a lottery, and I'll never understand it.
It's because it's run by the mafia.
Is it really? It's run by the mafia.
And it's all rigged. Minnesota Wild, though, got crushed. I don't know if you watched any of the games over the weekend. On Friday, they played the Anaheim Ducks and lost 2-1. The Anaheim Ducks are so aggressive, so much bigger. It almost seems like they're faster only because, even though we're known for our speed, the Minnesota Wild are, the Anaheim Ducks almost seem like they're faster because they're constantly hitting our guys and they're going into the glass and then falling down on the ground. They're huge. They're behemoths. They just manhandle us. I thought it was going to tire out the Minnesota Wild going into Saturday because they had back-to-back games. And they hadn't won in St. Louis since 2007, right?
Yep.
So going into that game, it was unbelievable. They ended up stealing a 3-1 win on Saturday, thanks to two goals within 17 seconds apart in the third period. Stellar effort by Dubnyk. Dubnyk is a beast, and Dubnyk has started every game since he's been with the Minnesota Wild. Since he's been traded to the Minnesota Wild from the Phoenix Coyotes.
Every single game.
Coyotes. He said he's perfectly fine and plans on starting every game through the rest of the year, unless Coach Mike Yeo says something different.
Perfect attitude. I mean, that's the attitude you want to have. I mean, put me in there. I mean, don't say anything about taking him out. Here's a guy that's been out on the outside, literally missing all last season, finding himself third string with the Coyotes before we picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here's a guy that really loves and appreciates not only getting to start, but the success that he has brought to this franchise. I mean, he's having you can just tell. He's having a hell of a time out there. He's having a great time out there. He's getting his chance. Why wouldn't you want to stay out there? You're not coming out for anybody.
Because he's getting tired. You would think he's getting tired.
You think so?
He was the only reason, in my opinion, that the Wild beat the St. Louis Blues. He's the only reason the Wild were in it on Friday night against the Anaheim Ducks. I wanted to reach through my TV and strangle the Ducks.
Yeah.
That's how abusive and aggressive and
nasty. Just nasty.
Oh, man.
Dubnyk is real deal. He must be having the time of his life right now, just living his dream right now, to be this starting goaltender playing at the highest level of any goaltender right now in the NHL, which he is. I just hope we can come down the stretch here for the next three games that we have, and it's tough. The first two were brutal, and the next three are just as bad. But if they can come out of that, and they take one, really two, that would be a total success for this franchise to be able to come out of that five-game stretch that we were talking about last week.
So what team do you think they can beat? The Predators?
I think they can. I think we can. He's back. They're in town tomorrow for St. Patty's
Day.
They're
in Nashville.
No, I think they're here, aren't they?
No, they're in Nashville.
I thought they were here.
Are they?
I think they're here.
Don't you dare tell me that.
I could be wrong, but I thought they were here. I really thought so. But anyway, I think, you know, we beat them last time on the road, so I know that.
No, they're in Nashville tomorrow.
Okay. I think they can win. I definitely do.
Then again, back in. No, then they're back here against Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, that's right.
That's tough.
That's right.
Then they're back here against the St. Louis Blues.
And that's tough, but I like them back here at home. To get two, you won't get two at Memphis. That would be their second road win. I doubt that. That'd be pretty tough. But they're playing as good as anybody. Dubnyk is, at least.
They're the best team in the NHL since the All-Star break. It's unbelievable.
Easily, and I think they can take Washington. I think they can take them out here. St. Louis here, that'd be tough. It'd be tough to double on St. Louis.
Twins sent your guys down. They cut him over the weekend, saying basically, Byron Buxton, Miguel Sano, they're just not ready.
Not ready yet. That's fine. Then I'm like you. If you can clearly see that they're not ready yet, then I'm like you. I don't want them to come up here and get ruined. I'd rather they go back and get what they need to get.
Byron Buxton was one of eight, I want to say. Miguel Sano had a couple of home runs. He looked a little bit more ready than Byron Buxton did. However, Eddie Rosario, another young, a big fan of, I wanted him to play second base until obviously Brian Dozier kind of took that over, but he remains with the big club and is in the rotation in the mix for possibly starting the year as our center fielder.
I mean, I'll take it. Wouldn't you?
Anything over Aaron Hicks.
Anything over Aaron Hicks. I mean, I would take it. Anyone that wants a job. Anyone that wants to be out there is trying everything they possibly can to break into the lineup somehow. I'm more for that guy than what I've been told about Aaron Hicks. And then already this year, him not even knowing what the situation was in one of the games and getting pulled and put over on the bench by Paul Molitor. I would easily take someone who is trying over someone who maybe has more ability but isn't in the ballgame.
Yeah.
And Al Newman told us it's because he thinks, quite frankly, he can't handle the pressure at this level. And I agree with him.
Yeah, what about Eduardo Escobar and some of the other players that we have in the infield that could possibly be a shortstop when moving Danny Santana back to center field?
I would take any combination that would get Aaron Hicks off the field. I really wouldn't. We can ask Mike Baird, you know. I mean, he comes on with us, and he'll be back with us again all season to be able to give us the report on the Twins and how they look and everything.
Mike Berardino will probably tell you he's the hardest working man in show business and shouldn't be so hard on Aaron Hicks. He takes the stuff personally.
Aaron does?
No, Mike Berardino.
Oh, Mike does.
Those guys are his friends.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Mike Berardino. I mean, obviously, we know what Torrey Hunter called him, but Torrey hadn't been in the dugout with him, the clubhouse with him.
Hey, Mike is kind of a prick, huh?
I know. I say that every single day.
I mean, Mike work very hard, but we also have caught him at a museum, an art museum in Chicago. Rain delay, Kevin.
Hell no.
He had his eye on a red plank. Hell yeah.
You need serious professional help.
Berardino that does, not me. But anyway, we'll take his word for it because he's the closest to the team of anyone that I know. Jim Rich knows inside and out. Brian Murphy as well. We have good information here all the time for you people. You have to trust us. We're going to get the right people on with the right answers. But Greg Jennings gone, Mike Wallace in. I wasn't really expecting that. I was expecting an extra receiver. Let someone else loose. If Johnson, you have to wonder now, if Johnson had said yes, Mike Johnson, that would have been...
Robinson would have been gone.
Yeah, maybe so.
See ya, sucker. Where do you think Greg Jennings is going to end up? Back in Green Bay?
I don't know if there's any room for him in Green Bay. I don't know if there's any room back there. They are full of receivers.
What about
Chicago? I think you find...
He'd do well
Brandon Marshall's gone?
they signed Eddie Royal, but Eddie Royal and Greg Jennings are more slot guys, but you have big Alshon Jeffrey on the outside and those
Beast and Bennett at tight end.
Oh, yeah. Marcellus, yeah.
Who's going to get the ball to him?
Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Who's going to get the ball to him?
Jay Cutler.
Oh. Really? Are you serious?
Uh-huh. Jay Cutler's
good.
Can
Fox and his staff finally reach him?
No. So Jay Cutler's really good, really talented, just a nut job.
I cannot believe it. I saw on NFL Network the Football Life. It's called Football Life, and it was a Brandon Marshall. And, I mean, here's a guy that's pretty complicated. He's very complicated. Mm-hmm. He has issues.
Yep.
And
borderline personality disorder.
Absolutely. And Jay Cutler had several pieces in that feature where he was commenting and, you know, talking about Brandon Marshall. He's a pretty heads-up guy, and he's a pretty likable guy when he's just talking, but his face just sells something else. Yeah. What's that?
Yeah. Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
He just looks like he's
looks miserable. Yeah, he does. Come on back, though. We're going to talk the talk and walk the walk. 4.5 questions at 4:30. I don't know what Ben's got.
I've got questions.
It's a quagmire of what you might be going to. I'll decipher through that quagmire next.
Yeah, I'll be ready to play tomorrow. Plan on playing every game from here on out, and if they tell me otherwise, then that's great. And if not, I'll be ready to play. So that's not up to me, and I'll just be ready when I get the call.
The Dubinator. Devin Dubnyk. Goaltender. Minnesota Wild. Just kicking some serious ace and taking some serious names. That's what he's doing. That's what he's known for. I'm with you. I think probably just St. Louis, it was probably all his. They got the job. He got the win for the Minnesota Wild.
But it certainly was.
Onward and upward. Memphis tomorrow in Memphis. Washington
no, Nashville.
Back. I mean Nashville.
Same thing.
Did I say Memphis? And then coming back home with Washington. And then, of course, St. Louis again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That should be interesting.
Going to be quite the week all the way through this weekend. Another day game on Saturday. And then, St. Paul, it's going to be crazy tomorrow. St. Patrick's Day. It was a little crazy on Saturday. They had I don't know if they had like a 5K or something, but it was nutty down there as I was hanging out at CHS Field, the new home for the Minnesota St. Paul Saints.
Yeah, it's going to be that way, too. That's a good crowd. Loyal. Very loyal.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I love St. Paul. Question one, 4.5 questions.
Okay.
The Minnesota Wild push around pretty badly on Friday night in St. Paul. The Anaheim Ducks I don't know. It's like you and me fighting. I mean, that's what it was like. I mean, I would just crush you, and you'd have nothing to get back to me.
I feel sorry for the Wild.
They ended up losing 2-1. Saturday, though, the Wild beat the Blues in St. Louis. That's the first time since 2007, thanks to the Dubinator, doobie-doobie-doo. Said he plans on starting every game. You just heard him for the rest of the year, unless Coach Mike Yeo tells him differently. Do you think starting the Dubs as often as the team has and continuing to ride him into the playoffs is a good idea? Or are you like me that you're just a typical Minnesota sports fan and you're just waiting for a massive implosion?
No, I've never seen anything like this. I really haven't. I thought for the longest time, a long time ago, that they should rest him and get him out of there. I mean, he's already well past the record number of starts, consecutive starts, of any Wild goaltender in this franchise's history. So I've always been of the feeling that you should, you know, get him a little break in there somewhere. But they haven't done so. He has started every single game since he's been here, since the All-Star break. So I've thought, but he's proven me wrong every time. I mean, the guy just keeps going. It's an amazing story, really. I mean, I think he can probably keep going the way... He hasn't shown any sign of it. And Jim Rich also has gone on to say that he's very, very loose in the locker room. He just doesn't wear anything on his collar like most goaltenders or kickers or punters do. This guy is just a cool cucumber, and he's getting this thing done. He's not going to come out. It's his job. He knows it's his job, and he's not going to let Yeo take him out for anything. He doesn't want to come out. I think that's amazing.
You don't think he wants to come out?
It's a good attitude.
Or at the same time, do you think that he knows that the rest of the goalies on the team are absolutely horse crap and he has to play, otherwise there are chances of getting into the playoffs?
He's not going
to
say that.
Even though they have a wild card spot locked up right now.
I think he knows. I think he definitely knows. But I think he doesn't want out of there either.
He's
not going to come out unless someone tells him to come out, and that's a great attitude. That's commendable.
Two.
Yes.
Twins. Set your two favorite guys down. Byron Buxton, Miguel Sano. Meaning neither will enter the season with the big club on opening day. With the injuries last year, their struggles this spring, their numbers prove they need some more seasoning away from Minneapolis. With Eddie Rosario, though, another young phenom, getting the chance to win the center field position, there will be at least some younger players in the mix. Are you happy with the way spring training's going so far for the Minnesota Twins down in Fort Myers?
I think you have to be. I think that it's onward and upward. We have to start getting something done with that starting rotation. We have to start finding, you know, who we are, that lineup. It has to start making sense by putting some of the younger kids down and narrowing things down and refining it. I think that you finally will have something you can go to war with. And it comes down to some really tough decisions, really tough. And I think it's hard to send Sano down. I think maybe Buxton is just not ready. From everything that you hear about Buxton is that he's really super fast, but no one really says anything else about him. And he's recovered nicely from the wrist injury and the concussions from last season, but they don't really say too much after that. I mean, Sano, they go on and on and on. We see him belt home runs, wind aided or not. He's cranked a couple home runs that are just amazing. His arm looks good, you know. When he scoops something up and guns it over to first, it's on the money, and it's got something behind it. So you have to love the way he's coming along. But if they have to go down be sent down, then that's the way it goes. I understand. I don't want them up here either if they're going to make mistakes or not be confident.
Yeah, and I think that we've talked about this several times. I love the fact that these younger players aren't getting the chance to start the club in with the team, the big club, on opening day, which is, in my opinion, just another part of the equation of how Aaron Hicks got ruined. I mean, you just talked about the fact that he's not confident. He's not. It's not that he's not smart enough, right? It's just
that's
that he
not
just
it. Yeah, that's not it either.
Doesn't know what's going on in the game situation.
He freezes up. He's the kind of guy that you put him up with the bigs, and he comes in. I think sometimes, like Al Newman said, he comes in kind of big eyed and freezes in situational things.
But understanding the situation,
and baseball is so situational.
But at the same time, he's one of those guys that's like, no, I got it. I don't need anybody to show me what to do. I understand what's going on. I've got this down. And he proves over and over and over again that he doesn't. And I think that's what's so upsetting to me. Watch that.
The part that he doesn't want to work or go stay extra and find out more so that it becomes more automatic to him. That's the part that would gripe you the most. I think if you're the manager, if you're, you know, one of his teammates down there and you see that he's the first one out of there every day, I think that would wear on me pretty quickly.
Especially if he's not producing on the field.
Yeah.
Question 3 and 4.5 questions. The Timberwolves back at Target Center tonight after a 4-game road trip. They lost all 4. Kevin Garnett doesn't seem to be playing on road games, and the issue is being stated that he has a sore left knee. With the Wolves' record and their push to get the best chance at landing a high lottery pick and hopefully hashtag thee who shall not be named, are you fine with Kevin Garnett not playing back-to-backs, not playing away games while still making $12 million this year as long as he continues to mentor the young kids, coaches from the bench, and in practice and then plays in front of the home fans here at Target Center?
I am. I think that was clear before he even got here that would be part of the deal, is that he would play, you know, limited minutes, still give the most of the time that needs to be spent out on the court with these younger guys, help them the most in practice, help them the most in the locker room, and get them where they need to be this year. And then next year, hopefully, he's got something left for another season or two where he can actually participate and be that guy along with those young guys that can make the biggest difference and the biggest, you know, the turnaround may happen sooner than later.
Question 4, obviously a lot of things happened over the weekend for Minnesota sports, but the Gopher men's basketball team disgraced the entire season. To me, anyway. I don't know if you felt that same way, but to the entire state. It was just hard to watch every time a game happened, or whether it's Andre Holland scoring 31, the next game he scores nothing, Mo Walker not getting up for games, Richard Pitino yelling at the guys not necessarily responding. The final blow of the season, though, came yesterday. They weren't even invited back to defend their NIT championship. That's how low it is. Why is it that the Gopher men's athletics, particularly basketball and sometimes football, obviously, and not necessarily recently, but they've been such a disappointment, while the U's women's athletics seem to be in contention for major titles every single season? Basketball, you've got hockey.
Well, the men's hockey has always been pretty stout.
Yeah.
The men's wrestling is always really, really good. Yeah, I mean, it's drug along forever and ever with football. We know that, but it got really heated up this time around. I thought the football this time around was pretty good, you know, based on where they're at and
better, with but Jerry still not Jerry. Where it needs to be.
Well, but think of the distance they've traveled though in that short time. Is that, you know, they're beating Nebraska back to back years. They're beating some good teams. I mean, they're in ball games with Ohio State and with Wisconsin. They're in these games, but it's come a long ways. I mean, we wouldn't have been in those games at all. Back in the 5-6 years ago, you just wouldn't even have to have a conversation at all. But I think they've come a long ways, and the recruiting has got to pick up. I wish he would go for a higher rank sort of kid and steal some kids.
Which he names. Are you talking Jerry Kill?
Jerry Kill.
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They're the same athletic department. Is it because that there isn't just as much competition. There isn't as much money when it comes to the women with their hockey and their basketball teams, because almost every single year, they're one of the top teams in the country.
I think when you have that kind of reputation, every single girl wants to come here to play hockey, too. They have their choice of the recruiting because they have the reputation and the winning streaks. The men have had that for a long time with the hockey.
Why don't guys want to come here for football or basketball?
It's not that anymore. They don't have those kinds of records, those kinds of teams that make it special for someone to want to come here and be part of it.
But it's a big city. It's flashy lights. Yeah,
The cosmopolitan Big Ten is here, more so than any other Big Ten squad. They did land the big-time linebacker.
Chicago. I mean, that's pretty big, but it's a private school, isn't it?
Private school and outside of Chicago. Yeah, but still, you're right. Who was the big-time linebacker we just landed? Last Friday, I believe. He visited Oregon.
Yeah.
He visited Ohio State, and he came here. So, I mean...
You know why? Snow. Loves snow.
He loves snow.
No, Sano. Miguel Sano. Not snow. Miguel Sano.
Get no. See what I did there? Yeah, of course. He loves him. But until you get things completely turned around and Jerry Kill starts making, you know, some really strong passes at that Rose Bowl, I think it could be like this.
Do you think they'll ever get there?
Yes, I do.
How long is it going to be? Because I feel like I've been waiting. No, I was a University of Minnesota student, and it's been 15 years since I started going to the university, and they haven't done really anything since.
I think they're on the cusp of something pretty special. If we'd beaten Wisconsin, we would have played Ohio State, right, for the Big Ten. Now, we all pretty much know how that would have gone. But I would say within a year or two, you'd be talking about being right in the mix.
Really?
Yeah, you know, a year or two.
Huh.
Right in the mix. I think Jerry Kill's got this thing going the right direction.
Are you talking about the Barber kid? The Barber, Robbinsdale Armstrong, linebacker, running back, Thomas Barber? Son of Marion Barber Jr.?
No.
Brother of Marion Barber III on Friday was added to the recruiting class? I think that's who you're talking about.
I'll look him up.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, he's a Minnesota kid.
It's hard to keep in state.
Well, I know, but I know that he went to all these
different
places.
Who doesn't
want to
go somewhere else? Who doesn't want to go to Ohio State if you have a chance? Who doesn't want to go to play for that cool Oregon team? Who doesn't want to go and play somewhere warmer from here? It's hard to keep him here because
you have a legacy. Your family legacy at the University of Minnesota? I don't know.
Well, maybe that's why he chose here. It's all about who is recruiting, what they're saying to these kids, and I think that Jerry Kill's got a pretty good spiel. I think he's got a pretty good pitch.
Half question, your bracket, you filled them out. How do you feel about it so far?
Oh, you never know how it's going to go. I would say Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. Okay. Well, we'll fill out our brackets and get all the insight from our college basketball phenom, lover to death, Amelia Reyna. We'll go through our brackets. I already filled mine out. I don't know. I have so many different questions, but we'll talk to her and all about all of that stuff as it is the day after Selection Sunday. I, honest to God, am thinking about getting a vasectomy just so I can sit there with frozen peas on my nuts and watch the games Thursday and Friday and not have to come to work.
Just have some fun and just sit there and just have a good time and not ever have kids. We'll come on back. We'll talk with Amelia Reyna right after this.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
March Madness is upon us.
Are you mad?
I'm so mad.
I'm so mad all I can do is dance.
We are mad as hell.
He is a madman.
My guests today say they're fighting mad.
Are you mad, woman?
I'm mad as hell.
That's like super mad.
Okay, so sign up and pick your brackets.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we do around here. This time of year, look at the calendar here. No, it's March. You know what? It's March.
I love it.
March Madness. And time to get the experts out. Time to get everyone who knows the business, knows how to pick these things. I've been told that the $1 billion challenge that Warren Buffett was going to throw down is off the table.
Is it?
It's off the table.
That's a bummer. Well, the one that we're doing at 105theticket.com, by the way, head to 105theticket.com and you can get into the $1 million bracket challenge. Don't miss your chance to win $1 million or $10,000. You'll also see how you can match up against your favorite ticket personalities. And the deadline, 11 a.m. on Thursday. Head now to 105theticket.com. But Amelia Reyna, the Gopher men's basketball beat writer for the Star Tribune, joins us now. Amelia, you know much more about college basketball than we do as we get through the tournament. Obviously, you know, we start watching the games and we get pretty deep into it. But as of right now, we feel like we're kind of naked just a little bit. So,
in fact, I am right now.
No,
That's so uncomfortable for Ben.
I apologize about that. Please don't go to our HR director, Amelia. But at some point, and you're a girl, so you wouldn't understand this, but at some point in my life, I'm looking forward to getting a vasectomy. Because the best time to get a vasectomy, according to most studies, is Thursday and Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, so you can sit at home, watch the games with a bag of frozen peas on your area, and watch the games and not be interrupted.
Okay.
Do you have anything like that for the female version?
No, I think that, you know, I don't really feel like I need an excuse necessarily.
Well, damn it, girl. See, you have to love, you have to love basketball, man. Just get yourself grounded and planted.
You know what? I'm actually planning on maybe making a short jaunt to Vegas this weekend and watching the games, like in a pool.
Ooh.
With a drink in my hand.
Hey, now that's,
you know, find an outdoor TV at one of these hotels.
Well, that sounds
unbelievable. That's how you get grounded right there. That's how you do
that's
it.
That's a pretty good plan, isn't it?
You don't have to go have yourself fixed like that.
Sounds like the best plan. Yeah. And usually
that's
they're
much better than
pretty extreme.
And it's not going to happen this year, obviously, but it's some year down the road. I just can't wait. And I just wanted to share that news with you, just in case you'd be interested in that. But watching in the pool, it sounds amazing. There are no Sasquatches down in Las Vegas, as far as I know. In the city limits,
as
anyway.
As far as you know.
No, I'm too tired right now to look for them anyway. So, you know, they'll have to wait. I need to get some R&R first.
All right. Well, you, no kidding. You've been busy lately. You agreed to count down or run down the first round, which is what they're calling round two, because you have the play-in round, and that happens as of tomorrow.
Yeah. I choose not to acknowledge that. Let's just call it the round of 64.
Okay.
There you go. The traditional tournament.
Let's start with the Midwest bracket here, or the Midwest sectionals, and we'll go Kentucky over, what is it,
Yeah, that's the playing game, so it would have been Manhattan or Hampton.
It doesn't matter who they're playing. I'm going Kentucky.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? Doesn't matter whether it's Manhattan or Hampton, either one of those thrilling matchups, I believe that Kentucky will be able to pull through.
I do, too. Yep. Same thing.
Cincinnati, Purdue.
I like Cincinnati. I think it's going to be a physical game no matter what. I think Cincinnati's defense is a little bit better.
West Virginia, Buffalo.
I'm going to go with one of a few upsets I have here and pick Buffalo.
Why do you say that? Because I have West Virginia, and I just want to know if I have to go back in it, because there's still time to change my bracket, obviously.
Right, but I actually think that Buffalo is a really strong team. They really don't. I mean, they're like a KenPom darling. If you look up their page on KenPom, if you pay attention to such things, they have a top 50 offense. They have a top 100 defense. It's a name that's not really as popular right now for an upset pick, but they play a lot of people too. They had a good schedule in the non-conference. They played with Wisconsin and Kentucky, so you know, I always like teams that have been through that a little bit, and just the fact that, you know, they really don't have any areas that are awful. I mean, you know, you can look at some teams and go, okay, they can do all right if they don't allow too many offensive boards, or if, you know, the opponent doesn't shoot many threes. Buffalo really hasn't had any super weaknesses like that all year.
And they say that the experts, which you are one of them, the most upsets come the 12 over the 5.
Yes, I like the 12 over the 5. I have a few of those in here, actually.
Okay, well, we'll keep going through the Midwest sectional, the first round, the round of 64, Maryland and Valparaiso.
I have Maryland.
Okay. Me too. You, Sue?
Yep. Got Maryland as well. Yes.
Butler in Texas.
Butler again.
Everybody's saying, and I'm watching the Sports Center and all these CBS and all these people. They have Texas being the hot team, and so I picked Texas.
I got Texas.
But, yeah, I liked Texas at the beginning of the year, but I just don't trust Texas. I feel like they've had enough hiccups, and I feel like Butler is definitely the better team here.
Okay, as we're filling out our brackets with Amelia Reno, the Minnesota Golden Gophers beat writer, men's basketball team for the Star Tribune. Moving on to Notre Dame and Northwestern.
Notre Dame. I like Notre Dame a lot. I might have them going even further than I do if not for them being in the same region as Kentucky.
Well, yeah, I have them going to the Elite Eight and then losing to Kentucky. I just like the way that they played against Duke over the weekend.
Yeah, in Carolina, I watched both of those games, and I mean, going through Duke and Carolina in the state of North Carolina to win the ACC tournament, I mean, I think that says something. And I really thought that they're just playing phenomenal. Their offense is just, you know, really impressive to watch. So
okay,
I could see them. doing some damage.
Rapid fire to wrap up the Midwest sectionals, right, because we have to take a quick break here. But Wichita State over Indiana?
Wichita State.
Yeah. Kansas over New Mexico State.
Kansas.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right. Amelia Reno, we got to take a break there, superstar.
Let's take a little break, shall we?
Got to wrap up.
Amelia, ready to take a break? We're going to do that right now, and then we'll come back and
West, East, hey, South. We got tons of games to get into.
Lots of games to get to, so let's do that right now.
Aztecs, Colonials, Boilermakers, Spartans, Hoyas, Fighting Irish, Crusaders, Blazers, Terriers, Hawkeyes, Buckeyes, Ducks, Flyers, Sooners, Cyclones, Badgers, Cardinals, and Friars, Cowboys, Twice, Longhorns, Aggies, Mustangs, Broncos, Utes, Rams, Ospreys, Bulls, Bison, Cougars, and Crimson. Take a deep breath, we're only halfway done. Anteaters, Blue Devils, Tar Heels, Chanticleers, Jayhawks, Huskies, Bears, Bearcats, Musketeers, Great Danes, Three Bulldogs, Rebels, and Mountaineers, Terrapins, Two Bruins, Hoosiers, Reds, and Cavaliers, Four Wildcats, Leopards, Shockers, Razorbacks, Two Tigers, Two Panthers, Lumberjacks, Jaspers, Wolfpack, Eagles, that's it. Ride them down, get out your brackets, it's March Madness.
Thank you, everybody. That's the song. Time to take a break now. No, I'm just kidding. We have only so much time to get to the actual teams and the actual brackets, but the song takes a segment. So anyway, but Amelia Reno, the beat writer for Minnesota Golden Gopher men's basketball, joins us in our bracketology review and deciding on whether or not we've made a good selection or two as we filled out our brackets today. And she's helping us out with it. Thank goodness.
So far in the Midwest sectionals, the only thing that she picked differently than me was Buffalo over West Virginia in an upset, and then Butler over Texas. Otherwise, we're pretty much on the same page, which is great. Let's head to the West, Amelia. Wisconsin over Coastal Carolina.
Yep, I've got that. Wisconsin, I've got them all going all the way to the Elite Eight, so I don't think they should. Although I don't think that Coastal Carolina is the weakest of 16 seeds, but this is not going to be the one.
Yeah, when's the last time they had an upset, the 16 over a 1? Has it ever happened?
No,
I don't think so. Do you have Wisconsin going to the Elite Eight against Arizona and then losing to Arizona?
I have Arizona winning that.
Yeah. So Wisconsin losing to Arizona and Arizona being a Final Four team. That you and I are basically the same person when it comes to picking games. I love it. In the West Regional, Oregon versus Oklahoma State.
Oregon.
Okay. Arkansas over Wofford. Wofford.
Arkansas also, yes.
Hell yeah. Not just yeah. They're plenty, it's kind of squatchy down there, too. Glad to find
Arkansas? I can see that.
That's a squatch area. That's just your regular, guy that works down at the lumberyard or whatever. I mean, they look different down there in Arkansas, but that's okay. They just don't shave or brush their teeth.
Kind of greasy. Yeah.
It's all right. You're not from Arkansas, are you, Amelia?
No, I'm not.
Okay, thank God.
I'm from this next place, North Carolina.
North Carolina versus Harvard.
And I do have them moving on.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I do too.
And then beating Arkansas.
I've got that too.
Me too.
And then losing to Wisconsin.
Me too.
It should be a very good game, I think.
Yeah.
I'm with you. The whole way on that.
What about Xavier, and then looks like another play-in game with what, Mississippi and BYU?
Yep, and I've got BYU winning the play-in game, and then BYU beating Xavier.
BYU beating Xavier. Okay. What?
Yep.
BYU beating Xavier. Hold on, I just caught that. Mm-hmm. BYU beating Xavier.
Yep.
Well, before you freak out too much, I have them beating Baylor as well.
Oh, my God!
No, I got Baylor on that one.
I've got them in my Sweet 16.
Holy smokes, Amelia.
Look at you go. I mean, you're off the charts with that.
Back to the Midwest Regional. With the play-in game against Kentucky, who do you have winning that one? Just so I know.
The play-in game?
What is it? Manhattan?
Manhattan versus
the Hamptons?
Are you saying
back up the Midwest? Back up the Midwest against Kentucky.
I actually haven't picked that one yet because we don't do that for our bracket.
I have to pick it at the bar later on tonight. Can you just tell me which one I should pick?
Let's go with
Manhattan, just for the hell of it.
Let's go with Manhattan because it's cooler area.
All right, sounds good. Baylor and Georgia State.
I've got Baylor.
And then you have them losing to BYU, which is so crazy.
Yeah,
it's
going to be a fun game to watch, too.
Yeah.
Super athletic on both sides. But I think BYU can win it. I think they're a good team, better than they're seeded.
Mm.
You know, they just beat Gonzaga recently.
Wow.
Ooh,
they've got some
that's true.
Some really great guards.
VCU, Ohio State.
VCU, I have winning that. Ohio State really hasn't impressed me much this year.
Is it because they almost lost to the Gophers twice?
Yeah, that's probably part of it. That's probably part of it. And they've had, I mean, they've just, they really don't have a lot of great teams that they've beaten. I think VCU is a pretty strong team. They've just been so inconsistent this year. And yeah, I don't feel like they're good enough to offensively to overcome VCU's defense.
Okay, then obviously Arizona over Texas Southern.
Yes.
Okay, East Regional, Villanova, Lafayette.
Nova, who I've got going to the Elite Eight before they get beat by...
Virginia?
Oklahoma.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And by the way, your bracket will be in the Star Tribune tomorrow morning. Amelia Reno, the beat writer for the Minnesota Golden Gopher basketball
team. With my own handwriting.
Really? Wow.
Long hand.
That'll be interesting. North Carolina State versus LSU.
Going with the Wolf back there, NC State.
Okay. Northern Iowa.
Look out.
Wyoming.
Here's my Northern Iowa. This is going to be good.
I'm actually going with Wyoming here.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, you don't agree?
I don't think so. In fact, I got Northern Iowa next bracket, too.
Well, Louisville, UC Irvine.
Louisville.
I have Louisville going to the Sweet 16, but losing to Nova.
Yep, me too.
Providence, Boise, or Dayton? Is it Dayton?
I've got Providence, actually, but I like Oklahoma more. So I'm getting beaten in the next round.
Yeah, I have that same deal as well. Oklahoma versus Albany. You obviously have Oklahoma. Michigan State versus Georgia.
Michigan State, and I've got them beating Virginia in the
next
round.
Michigan State, I mean, how about that game against Wisconsin over the weekend in overtime?
That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they actually had a really great look at the end of regulation too. If they had converted that three pointer, I mean, end of game, or at least end of game.
They had the last shot. They had the last shot in regulation. I thought it was going in. Frank the Tank was right in front of him though, contested it, but I thought it was going in.
But they've been really inconsistent this year as well, and I think, you know, everybody agrees they're not the same Tom Izzo team that we've seen a lot of years, but they're probably playing their best basketball. I mean, they came back the game before that. They were down 16, I think, on Maryland, came back from that, and I mean, they've definitely got the experience and the talent. It's just whatever they can. So I think they can do it. I think they can do it for a game, two games against Georgia and Virginia, and then I think they don't have enough against Oklahoma.
Finally, Virginia over Belmont is my guess in the East Regional.
Yep.
I have Virginia going all the way to the national championship game and losing to Kentucky.
Yeah, I could see that happening as well. I think Virginia is a good team. I just kind of like Michigan State being hot right now, and I'm also worried about Virginia's sort of health issues, and Justin Anderson's got that broken finger that seems to be messing him up, and they've gone through some offensive droughts recently too that I think could get them potentially in trouble versus Michigan State.
And that's, Emilio, why we have you on the radio, to help us out with these things so we don't look like complete buffoons. Down to the South Regional, Duke versus whatever UNF and RMOR is.
North Florida, Robert Morris. Yeah, I've got Duke.
Yeah, I think that's safe.
I've got Duke.
I think it's safe, probably.
Who do you have winning for the play-in?
Going to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, this is the Sweet 16, then who are they losing to?
To Iowa State.
Oh, my God.
Who is my national champion?
No way!
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Amelia, what are you talking about? I mean, Freddie Hoiberg's doing a great job down there at Iowa State. I mean, he's one of our very own. But, I mean, come on.
I like Iowa State. I think they're national championship worthy. I think they can get, they've got a good enough, hot enough offense, can get hot from three-point range to enough to beat Oklahoma. And they've got a lot of matchup issues, too. So I think they could really get by some people.
Duke isn't the best. I mean, I've seen them lose some games this year that have been
too.
Some disappointing games.
And our very own Tyus Jones is one reason they think that they can get to a national championship game.
Yeah.
It's because of him, not just Okafor.
San Diego, St. John. St. John's has a bit of a problem with one of their players, don't they?
Yeah, and I have not been overly convinced by St. John's at all this year, so I've got San Diego State.
Okay, Utah, SF Austin.
I have SF Austin, who I got a little bit too wrapped up with last year, and I think I had them going to the Sweet 16 or perhaps farther. They did win one game last year, but they're only winning one in my head this year. but they will beat Utah.
Okay, Georgetown, East Washington.
That, I think, is probably the most popular upset pick, but I'm not picking it. I'm picking Georgetown. I think Georgetown is going to get picked against a lot here because they've had such issues in the past in the tournament in the early rounds. But, you know, I don't think that Eastern Washington is necessarily, I think they can hit threes. If they're hitting threes, they can beat Georgetown, but I don't really think their defense is probably good enough to stop Georgetown.
SMU against UCLA.
I actually have UCLA here. I didn't expect UCLA to be in the field, but I do think they're playing very well right now and at the moment are a better team than SMU.
That's pretty aggressive. I have SMU going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, that's one of those that I could really see going either way. I'm taking a chance with that one, but if SMU was to win,
Iowa State. I'm sorry,
but I don't think I think that you know SMU is a good team and obviously well coached and in some scenarios could do some stuff, but just not my scenario.
Obviously, you have Iowa State winning over what is that Auburn?
UAB,
Alabama, Birmingham.
Oh, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I just have a couple of letters here on my thing. Iowa versus Davidson.
I've got Davidson winning that. Lots of upset potential in the South.
Gonzaga, North Dakota State.
North Dakota State was great last year. They were good for a few upsets.
Yeah, I've got Gonzaga, though.
Okay. I do, too.
No two seeds winning this year on my paper, although who knows.
And then your Final Four, Amelia, and the Superstar. What do you guys have?
Okay, for my Final Four, I've got Oklahoma, Iowa State, Arizona, and UK, with UK and Iowa State in the championship game, and Iowa State taking it all.
That would be exciting, especially for our guy, Fred Hoiberg. But
yeah, Freddie Hoiberg down there.
I can't pick Kentucky. I just can't do it. I'd rather be wrong than cliche.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I got University of Kentucky in the Midwest. In the West, I've got Arizona. In the South, I've got Duke. And in the East, I've got... University of Virginia.
You copied me!
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I listened to you go through that entire thing. I listened to you go through that entire thing.
So who do you have, Superstar? Who do you have, Kentucky, Arizona?
I have Kentucky.
Okay, Virginia, Duke.
I have Duke.
Okay.
So and then I have UK winning.
Kentucky over
Duke.
Duke.
Mm-hmm. Kentucky, Arizona, Virginia, Duke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what I have as well. Is that just because we don't know the intricacies of college basketball like you do to not necessarily pick a lot of these
Iowa
upsets?
State, that's incredible.
No, I think it's all just a guessing game, really. It's just one matchup. It's not like if we were doing the best of three here, I think that people who watch more basketball would probably win out more of the time. Mm-hmm. But since it's just one game, I mean, then it's just, you know, fluky things can happen and so many things you can't predict.
No question. Yeah, it's always an amazing thing.
Always upsets. It's just picking the right ones, and you know, I can pull out like for Wednesday's paper, I'm going to pull out you know 8 or 10 upsets that could happen. Maybe we'll see 2, 3, 4 of them. They're not all going to happen, but it's just picking the right ones. You know,
for sure,
it's tough. It's tough to do, but you have to have a feeling, or if you listen to enough of the experts or so-called experts, you know, as they run through all of this, they can actually convince you that an upset's going to happen. Like last year, North Dakota State.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, if you listen to them enough, and if it's a great basketball mind, you'll take their word for it and just say, yeah, that's
and
the feeling.
Just
that's the feeling.
It.
Yeah, I just buy
like
into
that,
it. Yeah,
like it's already happened.
It. Mm-hmm. I totally got
swept up with the SF Austin train last year.
I got SF Austin to go past Georgetown.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are...
I got SF Austin over Georgetown.
SF Austin is a good team. I do think they're a good team. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know if they're as good of a team this year, though, as they were last year. And I feel like some of the advancement that people are picking them right now are based on the team last year.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And all the hype they've gotten.
I've got Duke taking them out, and then I've got Iowa State.
Plus, they've got a great nickname, the Lumberjacks.
The Lumberjacks. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Amelia Reyno from the Star Tribune, the Gopher men's Gopher basketball beat writer, thank you for helping us fill out our brackets, at least the first round. We'll be calling you as we get through round 3, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final 4, National Championship, and on and on. It's my favorite time of the year.
Hopefully not to yell at me at all the all the things I led you astray on.
No, but at the same time, now I have to go back and change some of my brackets, but I did...
You'll be calling me to thank me for all the brilliant picks I gave you.
Exactly. You're the one that's going to win me $1 million on our 105theticket.com.
Yeah, I'll need to enter that.
$1 million bracket challenge.
I can use that.
Do it. Go to 105theticket.com, and after your name, put 105. It'll be part of the team.
Perfect.
All right.
Get in there.
Amelia, have a great weekend. If you decide to take off, enjoy the sunshine. If not, enjoy whatever we have here this weekend. Hopefully it's not snow.
Sounds good.
All right. Take care, Amelia.
Amelia Reno. There she goes. And she knows what she's talking about. Iowa State to win the whole thing.
Yeah, she's ballsy.
Iowa State.
I like it, though. People that take chances and watch. Yeah, I mean, she'll be right.
I mean, I've got a chalk walk right here. It's right down the chalk.
Yeah.
I'm like the President of the United States.
Got
he does it every single time. Let's take a little break and come back and talk with Jim Rich a little bit. I talked to him last night. He's got some interesting takes on both the Wild, the Vikings, up and down the bracketology. We'll do that next.